Today we take a look into the life of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, friend and assistant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the second Khalifa of Islam, the one who was given the title Al-Faruq, one who differentiates between truth and falsehood. Now before we get into looking at the life, there's something that we need to first understand and truly comprehend with regards to Sayyidina Umar. And this is the blessings contained in the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were no ordinary thing. It's a special supplication from the best of creation to the most beloved of Allah. And when these supplications are accepted by Allah, we find that Allah blesses the recipient with the requested qualities in an exceptional manner, in a unique manner, and such that it becomes testimony to the Nubuwwah. It's a miracle of the Nubuwwah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who was from the poor Sahaba, would reside on the Suffa. He says on one occasion, he had obtained a handful of dates. Instead of simply consuming it, he thought to himself, let me take it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to bless these dates. And so he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him to supplicate, and then placed in the satchel with instruction that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, whenever you feel hungry, simply take from the satchel and do not empty its content entirely. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu acted in accordance with this advice, and whenever he was hungry, he would take from it and consume it. And even mentions that sometimes others would ask him for some and he would give them accordingly. And such was the barakah and the blessings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua, that he continued eating from that same dates during the remainder of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then during the khilaf of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, and then during the khilaf of Sayyidina Uthman. The day Sayyidina Uthman was martyred, the bag fell from his hand and the contents emptied out and the blessings terminated. Subhanallah. And in this manner, you know, he continued to eat from these dates for a period of more than 24 years. That was the blessings of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example of the blessings contained in the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the incident of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik. Sayyidina Anas was the special attendant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. And he was privileged to receive both the blessings of the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as the spiritual or the special supplications of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the home of Ummi Sulaim, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered salah. And after he had finished, he began supplicating for Ummi Sulaim, the mother of Sayyidina Anas. Ummi Sulaim asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for my son, your khadim, Anas. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave any goodness of this world in the year after, which he did not invoke Allah, that he just bestow it on Sayyidina Anas. Allah grant him wealth, children, and bless him therein. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says that owing to this, he says, I became one of the wealthiest amongst Ansar. My daughter, Umayna, told me that more than 120 of my progeny had been buried in my lifetime. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Anas lived till the age of 103. And at the time of his demise, he left behind 83 sons and daughters. Such was the blessings of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his favor. We even find this blessings in the title that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awards Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, the great general of Islam and hero of many conquests. He was given the title of Saifullah by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such did he live up to this title awarded by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the entire military career after embracing Islam, he fought 41 battles, numerous skirmishes in 15 years, and never lost even a single confrontation by the grace of Allah. And then that day arrived when this great warrior was about to leave this world. And as he lays on his deathbed, tears began to stream down from his cheeks. And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was present and asked Sayyidina Khalid why he was weeping. And Sayyidina Khalid says, in every battle that I fought, I charged into the enemy lines, hoping for shahada, hoping for martyrdom. And he raised the cover from his right leg and said, do you see even a space of a handspan which is not covered by some scar from a sword or spear? Those sitting there say no. He does the same with his left leg and asks the same. And again they say no. Does the exact same with his right arm and then his left arm. He even opens his chest. And here too, there isn't a handspan except with a scar. So the Khalid had made his point and he says, do you not see? I've sought martyrdom at every turn. Yet today, here I lie, dying as a camel dies. This was the barakah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's title that it granted him, Saifullah. And the cousin of the Prophet Ibn Abbas replies to him and says that you could not die in battle, O Khalid, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named you the sword of Allah. If you had been killed by a disbeliever, they would have mocked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that they had broken the sword of Allah and that could never be. So such is the blessings contained in the words and the supplications of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is, you know, what we need to understand in terms of the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Islam began in secret. The Muslims were outnumbered. They were persecuted every turn. Many were put through severe trials and torture by the mushrikeen so that they would renounce the deen. But they remained firm despite the persecution they had to endure. It was these dark and difficult times that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his hands and he said, Allahumma aiz al-Islam bi ahabbi hadaini rajulain ilayka bi Abi Jahlin aw bi Umar ibn al-Khattab. Allah honor Islam through the dearest of these two men, through Abu Jahl or through Umar ibn Khattab. And the dearest of them turned out to be Umar ibn Khattab. And it was a supplication that changed the fate of Sayyidina Umar. The mushrikeen decided they were going to kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to end the message of Islam once and for all. And we're looking for a volunteer for the job. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu accepted this task. And much to the joy of the mushrikeen, who cheered that if there's anyone who can do this, it's you, O Umar. And so he set out, sword in hand, en route. He learns something even more alarming. His own sister and brother-in-law embrace Islam. And this sends him into a rage. And he marches to the home of his sister, intending to set them right first. When Sayyidina Umar arrived at the home, Khabbab radiallahu anhu was teaching them Quran. He concealed himself in one of the rooms. Sayyidina Umar entered and asked him what they were hiding, to which they said this and that, presented some excuses. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, it seems you two have left your religion. And the brother-in-law, Sa'id ibn Zayd, said to him, O Umar, what if there's truth in the other religion? And Sayyidina Umar then struck his brother-in-law violently. And when his sister attempted to shield her husband, Sayyidina Umar struck her as well. And blood began to pour from the wound. And when the blood started flowing and he saw it, at that point, Fatima, the sister of Sayyidina Umar, started speaking and said, what if the other religion is truth? And then she recited the Shahada. And Umar asked about the book they were reading, but she refused to give it to him, saying that he was not in a purified state, could not read it. And then they told him to purify himself, and he purified himself, and then he began to read the verses, Innani, Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Verily, I am Allah. There is no deity except me. Worship me and establish salah for my remembrance. And after reading this, he said, the one who says this only deserves that none be worshipped but him. Tell me, where is Muhammad? I wish to embrace Islam. And when Sayyidina Khabbab heard this, he came out from where he was hiding and said, Abashir, glad tidings of Umar. I hope you become the answer to the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Sayyidina Umar left and went to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when the Sahaba saw him approaching, they became apprehensive. But Sayyidina Hamza placated them and said, if Allah intends good for him, he will accept Islam. But if Allah intends for him anything but good, then we will slay him with the same sword. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then came out and took hold of his collar and the strap of his sword and said to him, what brings you, O Ibn Khattab? By Allah, I do not think you're going to stop until Allah sends down a calamity upon you. And Umar answered and said, O Messenger of Allah, I've come believing in Allah and His Messenger, that which you have brought. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. And from which the Sahaba realized that Umar radiallahu anhu had accepted Islam. And they also called out in excitement. And this was the turning point for Islam. Remember, you know what we've spoken about, the blessings of Allah, of Allah's Messenger's dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not merely supplicate for Umar to embrace Islam. Rather, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for Islam to be granted honor through Umar, for it to be strengthened and supported. And this is exactly what happened. From this day until the final breath, Sayyidina Umar was a source and a means of bringing honor to Islam. And may Allah shower His mercy upon him. You know, while others concealed their faith out of fear of being persecuted, Sayyidina Umar announced his Islam openly. He first went to the house of Abu Jahl and other chiefs of the Mushrikeen and declared his Islam openly before them. And none of them, however, had the courage to say anything or to do anything. And he proceeded to the Haram, where he declared his Islam before all and sundry. And a mob attacked him and began striking him from all sides. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, did not take it lying down. He fought back bravely. This was Umar, you know, filled with enthusiasm, initiative. And the next day he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asks, O Nabi of Allah, are we not on the truth, whether we live or die? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replies that, yes. So why do we hide? But the one who sent you with the truth should go out and preach openly. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now felt that the time had come to worship and preach openly. And he set out, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Hamza, one on his right, one on his left. And the Muslims in two rows behind him to the Kaaba, where they worship Allah in the open. Not a single one of the mushrikeen could pluck up the courage to lift a finger on them. It was on this day that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam awarded Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu the title of Al-Faruq, the distinguisher between the truth and falsehood. Sayyidina Umar was a means of bringing honor to Islam, just as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had asked for him to be. He was unique in his understanding, his fortitude, his dedication to the deen. His hijrah as well was unique. As narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that, you know, I do not know of anyone who migrated openly except Sayyidina Umar. When he intended to make hijrah, he strapped his sword, put his bow over his shoulder, and held the arrows in his hand. He then went to the Kaaba. Whilst the leaders of the Quraysh were sitting in the courtyard of the Kaaba, he made tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times and then performed the 2 rakats behind the Maqam Ibrahim. After that, he went to each crowd that was sitting around the Kaaba and he said to them, may you be disgraced. Whoever wishes to leave his mother, orphan his children, or widow his wife, let him meet me behind this valley. But not a single one of them followed him. So how true was the words of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that he said that we had not stopped being honored since Sayyidina Umar entered into Islam. On another occasion, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud said that Umar's becoming Muslim was a victory. His hijrah is a help and his khilafah is a mercy. We do not pray or make tawaf of the Kaaba until Sayyidina Umar became a Muslim. And when he became a Muslim, he fought them until they left us alone and let us make salah. So subhanAllah, Sayyidina Umar is the personification of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua. And he lived to that standard, becoming a proof of the veracity of the Nabuwa of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, the words of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he calls Islam, this moment when he accepted Islam, a victory. And one can only imagine what his life achievements truly weigh if the first day of Islam had already been referred to as a victory. May Allah shower His blessings and His mercy on Sayyidina Umar and grant us the ability to follow in His footsteps and honor Him in the same way that He had brought honor to the deen of Islam. May Allah Rabbul Izzah grant us the ability to appreciate the legacy of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu.